adoration and glory. Oh God, it all belongs to you. Oh my God. Oh God, thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. How many know he deserves our worship? You deserve our praise,
adoration and glory.
Adoration and glory
belongs to you always. It belongs to you always.
Hey, 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 glory. This is not a new phenomenon. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I kept reading down in there, and it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his fears. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, the woman, boy, girl who trust in him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another day's journey. Thank you for one more time being able to come into the house of the Lord to give you glory, to give you praise, to magnify your name, to fellowship with the saints of God. We thank you, God, to hear a word from you. We give you glory. We give you praise on today. God, be glorified. Oh, God, be glorified as we magnify your name on today. Have your way in this service, Lord. And we give you all of the praise. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, the righteous, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, saints. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord some praise. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I don't have to be pumped up to praise the Lord. Amen. I got a praise down on the inside because God's been so good to me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. When I was down, he picked me up. When I was lost, I've been found. You talking about the lost and found. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody remember where the Lord brought you from? Anybody think about where he's taking you to? You got to go through to get to where he's taking you to. And we're going through in the name of the Lord. Amen. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we thank God for Jesus. We thank God for his word. Amen. Amen. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does we meditate day and night. We shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Whew, thank God for his word. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for being in the house of the Lord one more time. due honor to God and respect to all of the saints of God. So glad to see my daughter, Rachel. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't she so beautiful? So precious. Amen. So anointed. Thank you, Lord. And so we just thank God for being in the house of the Lord again. God's been so good to us. He's been better than to me than I've been to myself. I can't tell it all, but I'm going to tell on it. I'm going to tell on it. I'm going to tell how good, every chance I get, how God has been so good, so wonderful, so gracious, so kind, so merciful. Oh, God, He's a healer. He's a deliverer. Everything we need is in Christ Jesus, and we bless His name on today. Thank God for the spirit of praise that's in the house. Amen. The excitement, the exuberance for Jesus is in the house. Amen. Eyes haven't seen, the scripture said, and ears haven't heard, and neither have it entered into the hearts of men the good things that God have in store for those who love Him. And the question is, do you love Him today? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So we praise the Lord. Amen. Our subject today is we have access to the Father. Ooh, I tell you, that ought to be a shout and run around the pulpit even now. Amen. Because we have access to the Father. Praise the Lord. I know it was a few weeks ago. I came in here. I was doing some work in the church. And I forgot the password to the computer. I said, is it this? Is it this? And I didn't have access to the computer, so I started making phone calls and text messages because I wanted it like right now. Have you ever wanted some right now help? So I started texting Sandy and Camille and didn't get nothing back. Then I called them. And by the time I got on, then I remembered. Oh, that's what it is. And I was granted access to the computer. See, now I don't know about y'all, but this happened to me one time probably 20 years ago. I went to the ATM. I knew I had some money in there. So I'm going to go and draw something out. Couldn't remember the PIN number. They give you 3 chances. Now, I didn't know it at the time. 3 strikes, you're out. So, okay, I know it's got to be this number. Bing, bing, bing. Bump. But then what happened? It sucked in my card. I didn't know it would do that, so it sucked in. I'm like, now I'm mad at the machine. The machine hasn't done nothing wrong. The machine that was doing everything it was programmed to do, but it didn't have access. But we have access to God the Father. Isn't that a blessing? And listen, okay, I'm talking about the one who created everything. I'm talking about, Pastor Amanda, the one who reigns. We have access to Him 24/7. He don't take a holiday. He don't take a break. The Bible tells me that He never sleeps nor some slumber. Don't need no pen number. Thank God. You know, I can't remember them things like I used to. Have anybody ever, been on the web, you know, and maybe you got a new app or a new site you're trying to go to, and it asks you to put in a new username and put in a password. And if you got Apple, it'll say, now, you want us to give you a password? Or create your own. I can remember this one, you know. I don't need no help, you know. And then a week later, you say, you get on the computer, you say, you get that deer in the headlight look. And you start scratching. Then it says, forgot password. And what you do, you click on that, and you go through the process, and then you have access again. But I thank God we have access to the Father. Thank you, God. So I took the pledge of looking up, going to the old Webster Dictionary, access, permission, liberty, or ability to enter, approach, or pass to and from a place, or to approach or communicate with a person or thing. We have access to the Father. Wow. Thank you, Lord God. Because, see, there's times to where I didn't have access to the Father. There's times I didn't even have access to a natural father. Growing up back in Oklahoma, and oh, how I wanted to have a father. All these other kids on the block had a father. I didn't have a father. You know, I longed for that. See, but it came a time where Daddy showed up. And I had access to my natural father. But even in that, there was times I didn't have access to him, even though he was present. But we have access to the God of creation.
Yes.
Now, don't take that lightly. See, the preacher this morning was talking about light years and all these things that God has created and how many light years this star away and the sun is away. And the God who said, let there be light. And bam, there was light. Who created everything that we can see, touch, and feel. We have access to him. Wow. We're going to see some scriptures today. Going to just make a few points here. I know this is Communion Sunday, so like Pastor Jones said, we're not going to be here long. I'm just picking on my brother now. See, he didn't even call the man's name. But praise God for his word. His word is exciting. And when we can understand the love of God, yeah, when we can really come to grips as best we know how, that he loves us with an everlasting love, that he, as the song said, and he given us another chance, my God, we have access to the Father. Because sometimes you cannot even contact your closest friends. And if you do contact them, sometimes they can't help you, even though they may want to. But we have access to the Father who can handle it. Thank you, God. I want us to kind of start off to just kind of jump into St. John 14. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. One of them, one of like a million. You know, Jesus had, it was all set in motion. Judas had been, you know, had already made his bargain with the devil. Jesus was letting the disciples know things that was to come, that he's going to leave. But you know what? I don't care what our situation is, what we're going through, whatever we're going through, our God reigns.
Yes, sir.
And he knows. He knows what we stand in need of. And so the disciples, they were in a quandary. You know, they're hearing things that they hadn't had to deal with before. Jesus is letting them know, I'm going to be going off the scene. And I'm going to be crucified. And I'm, you know, it's a lot happening here. And things are going to start happening in great succession. You know, sometime we need some comfort, a word of comfort in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trials. And I thank God that he knows that and he gives us what we need. Have you ever been in a place where you needed a word from God? Where you needed a Holy Spirit hug from the Lord? Where it seemed like That hug ain't coming from the wife, ain't coming from the husband, ain't coming from the kids. I need a hug from the Lord. I need some reassurance. I need some upholding here. We heard in Power Hour this morning that the Lord God is our rear guard. It was said that he has our back. Thank you, Lord. And so in that scene, and things are now begin to move rapidly, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Oh God, sometimes we have a troubled heart because there's things that's happening around us that we don't have control of. But we have to understand and know that he's in control. Ah, thank you, Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. Huh. There's a connection there. You know, the Israelites for years have believed in God. Jesus have come on the scene and he's working miracles. He's giving sight to the blind. He's unstopping deaf ears. He's raising the dead. He's having compassion on those who've been outside. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me.
Come on. Come on.
See, God has presented himself to man in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-existent. That's who he is. Jesus said, I do what I do to please my Father. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many dwelling places, many rooms. If it were not so, Jesus said to them, I would have told you, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. I can't stay here. He's letting them know. As I'm sitting on the Southwest Airlines sometime, I'm saying, we got to get up out of here. I'd love to see him crank it up, wheels up. One day we're going to be caught up out of here because our Father have, Lord Jesus have prepared a place at our Father's house. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again. And I'm going to receive you to myself. I heard the song Sister Patricia say, when I see Jesus.
Yes.
When I see Jesus, all of my troubles, all of my heartaches, all of my pain will all be over. When I see Jesus and it's amen.
Yes.
He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? This sixth verse is what kicks off the message for today. We have access to the Father. Jesus said to him, listen, Thomas, hey, he loved him so much. Listen, Thomas, I know we got some other brothers around here, but Thomas, I want you to know something. See, he's not going to leave any. We in the military, we said we're not going to leave nobody behind. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. So Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way.
Yes.
Amen. Remember what God said to Pharaoh when Moses said, who am I going to say sent me down here to tell you to let my people go? He said, tell him I am. Sent you. The self-existing one.
Jesus.
El Shaddai. God Almighty. Jesus said, I am the way.
Yes.
Not a way. I am the way. And I am the truth. If you want to know truth, you're going to get it from Jesus. You're going to get it from the Word of God. Oh, my God. Remember, Pilate had truth standing in front of him. He said, what is truth? You talking to Jesus who's truth? And his wife done already told him, you shouldn't have nothing to deal with that just man.
That's good.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here's the punchline for my message today. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. Wow, isn't that a blessing? We have access to the Father. Anybody in here have Jesus in your life?
Amen.
Can I hear amen or hallelujah or praise the Lord? I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I have access to the Father. Father's Day is coming. We have fathers that's gone on the other side, natural fathers. But we have a Father who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. So I got a few scriptures here I want to look at. The first one's going to be in John 4, 23 through 24. And I'm going to call it hope for the future. How many know we need some hope for the future? Because if what we see right now every day is as good as it's get, then the scriptures say we of all men are most miserable. But I have hope, Sister Carolina. Oh, thank you, Lord. I have hope that's out of this world. God has shown me his glory. You know, God do that. He does that. He didn't just do it for Martin Luther King, who said, I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. He said, I may not get there with you, see. Who showed the man that? He has some access to the Father. How many folks preach their own eulogy, their own funeral, and die the next day? Hope for the future, John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour is coming. See, that was a woman at the well. And she wasn't looked on too pleasurable. And she was despised, and she had to come at certain times of the day. And, you know, she'd had a hard life. Praise God. I don't care how hard your life has been. There's a Father in heaven that loves you so much. He cries for you. He stands with his arms wide open. She had some issues and was despised. Her whole family structure. They were Samaritans, and they were not looked on pleasantly. They were some by some rude people called them half breeds and things like that of no fault of their own. But Jesus was ministering to her. He told her that he had some water. That if she ever drunk of the water that he have, she'll never thirst again and won't even. And she said, you mean I don't have to come draw water from these pots no more and look at these women being mean to me? She said, no, I'm going to give you water that will be springing up in you, a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And she said, well, I know Messiah's coming. They knew. They were looking for the Messiah. Yes, she had a ragged life. But she heard that the Messiah was going to come. And she told her, she said, I know that it's, you know, you Jews worship like this. And listen what Jesus said. But the hour is coming, and now is. See, you know, see, God's a right now God. He'll give you a Holy Spirit shot in the arm right now. I'm talking about when your head is down, when your spirits are low, when depression comes in, when sickness comes, he's a right now God. He told him, but he said, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, any true worshipers in the house today, we've already said he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He said, but the time is coming when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, way down on the inside. God, I love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, I give you glory. I see you for who you are. He said, that time is coming. I can see this poor woman saying, oh, tell me more. Tell me more. Give me some more good news. And listen what he said. Just said, for the Father, the one who we have access to, the Father is seeking such to worship him. What? Those in spirit and in truth. And he said, God is spirit. It's very important to get this. He's not a spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't come to the house of the Lord out of some kind of religious duty. We don't come out here because if I don't, no. We come in the house of the Lord to worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because he's done so much for us. Everybody in here got a testimony. If you saved, you have a testimony. If you know where you came from. Yeah, everybody don't know it, but you know that this Father that we have access to has done something special in your life. The second scripture is Matthew 6:6. He sees us and he knows us. He's given us tools to work with. He's given us the privilege of prayer. How many call on the Lord? Know that when you can call on him any time of day. How many know that he hears your every cry? He hears every prayer. Let me ask you this. How many know that he answers every prayer? Just because you don't see it right now don't mean that God's not moving on your behalf. Right. The old song, you say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Yeah. How you know that? He never late. He's a right now God. Have anybody ever been delivered quick? You had something that was finna go down and the Lord delivered you quick. But it's other times he say, wait. All right. Trust me. So in Matthew 6:6, he sees, he knows us. He said, but you, when you pray, you who love God, amen, you who are called according to his purpose, you who understand that he hears us. He said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and or some say in your closet. In short, you need to steal away sometime. I'm not talking about Percy Sledge. Now, some of y'all get a little older than me. Believe I'll steal away or slip away. No, we. Some of y'all say, what is he talking about? It was an old worldly song. Somebody, won't you just slip away? But no, when you can slip away with the Lord, with good intentions, with great expectations. He said, when you pray, go into your room or your closet, that secret place, and when you have shut the door, pray to your who? Pray to your Father. Where is who is in the secret place? And your Father who sees in secret, he rewards you openly. Wow. Wow. It said, I don't have to try to show anybody how much I can pray. How anointed I am to pray, but when I tune in spirit and in truth and call on my Father in heaven in the name of Jesus, he hears me. Wow. Thank you. 1 Peter 1:17-19. I call this verse, Jesus paid it all. How many know Jesus paid it all? Yeah. And all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he's washed me white as snow. You mean to tell me, Christy, I'm washed white as snow in blood? Amen. Back in Oklahoma, they had bluing. Uh-oh. There go this old stuff again. Can I get a witness? Anybody know bluing? David has his head. Yeah. Why are they putting that dark blue stuff in the washing machine and the clothes come out white? Oh, but we're washed white in the blood of Jesus. Oh, God. Practically, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Positionally, I'm perfect in Christ. Because when the Father see me, he see the blood. So, 1 Peter 1:17-19, Jesus paid all. And if you, listen to this, saints, if you call on the Father, see, I'm just talking about access to the Father today. See, if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself through the time of your stay here in fear and reverence to God. We need to mind our P's and Q's and understand and know who it is that we serve. He know we're not perfect.
Right.
He know we're going to stumble. But we need to have it in our heart and our mind. For God I'll live, for God I'll die, swim, sink, or drown, I'm on the Lord's side. He said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. Nothing could pay for what I have right now. That I had, I was broke, but now I'm rich. What? In Christ. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. Let me just read this in context and not talk till I finish, because this First Peter. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. That's corruptible stuff. From your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ.
All right.
Wow. See, Jesus paid it all. But with the precious blood of Christ, and how did he, as a lamb without blemish or without spot.
My God.
The Old Testament sacrifices could not remove sin. But the precious blood of Jesus washed our sins away.
Thank you.
Isn't it a blessing that you're not walking around like this, burdened down with sin and shame?
All right.
And guilt anymore, that you mean to tell me I can stand up straight?
Yes.
Sister Dorothy, I can lift my head up high, yes, and I can walk in confidence before my Father? Oh my God, what a blessing.
Yes.
What a blessing. And guess what? There's people who need to know that they can have access to the Father,
yes,
and don't have to keep stumbling around in this dark and dreary land. That's why he's called us to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 17 and 18. I don't have time to go to the first verse or the second verse, because that first verse said, and you who were dead,
yes,
in trespasses and sin. You. Grab the mirror. You, sir, right here, was dead in trespasses. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love where he had loved us. But if we jump down to verse 7 and 18, I want to call this this number 4 here, permission granted.
All right.
And he came, Jesus, and preached peace to you who were far off, to those who and to those who were near. Remember, this one scripture said he's no respecter of person. Whether you're up and out, down and out, or somewhere in between, if you need Jesus, and he has came and he preached peace to us.
Thank you, Lord.
And the peace I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away.
All right.
It says, for through him, we, listen to this now, because we have access to the Father. It says, for through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, oh God, touch in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise him tonight. Hebrews 4, 13 through 16. I'm going to call it, thank God for his grace and mercy. Anybody here thank God for his grace?
Yeah.
For his mercy? Not getting what you deserve. Hello. Just think if we all had gotten what we deserve. Say, you know what you did. But Jesus dropped the charges.
Amen.
Receiving what you don't deserve. Oh God, what can I render to you? I'll just say thank you, Lord. Hebrews 4, 13 through 16. And these verses is right on the heels of one of the most quoted scriptures in Christendom, for the word of God, right, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, right, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and is a discerner, listen to this quote, of the thoughts and the intent of the heart, and everything lay open and naked before him. You're never alone. You there's nothing private in your life, even if you think it is, because it says that he sees everything. So here comes the Lord who is, and now we see, oh, wow, my thoughts, my heart, open. And then he comes with the healing salve. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. See, it's not like that high priest that was called Caiaphas that had Jesus crucified. Or even the priest Aaron who had his wayward sons and who sometimes Aaron could identify with the people the best he know how to go before God for them. But I want to let you know, we don't have to go to the priest no more, because we have a great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. This is important right here. Let us hold fast our confession. Do we have a confession that one day I called on the Lord and I said, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, God. I want to follow you. I want you to be my Father, Lord. I want you to forgive me of my sins. Do anybody remember those type of words? And then do you remember what God has done since those words? It may have been a year ago, 5, 10, 15, 40, or 50 years ago. He says, hold fast to your confession. Brother Tyrone, tell it every chance you get. On the mountaintop, tell it. Driving your bus every day, tell it of this great confession. He said, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Hello, somebody. I'm just about closing here, but you hear this? We have a great high priest in Jesus Christ who sympathizes with our weaknesses, with my frailties, with my failures. He said, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God, understands what it means to be tempted. Yes, he was Jesus, God incarnate in the flesh, but he sympathizes with us. He knew the struggles, and the enemy would try to tell us, listen, don't keep taking that stuff to the Lord. You take it every chance you get. Amen. It may be the 50th time for the same situation, but you go to your Father. Amen. Oh, God, here I am. I come as an empty pitcher before a full-flowing fountain, asking you, God, to fill my cup, to forgive me again one more time, God. Help me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now listen to this, verse 16. Here's another let us. Knock, knock. No, let us. No. It ain't that kind of let us, right? Right, right. Let us alone. No, it ain't that one either. Let us therefore come boldly. See, this is saying with confidence, with great assurance that our Father hears us. That he's not going to hold a big stick over us. That his arms are wide open. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh God. Unmerited favor. Come to that throne where all blessings flow. Whatever you've been believing God for and holding on to, you come boldly to the throne of grace, lifting it up before him. It may be a sickness, whatever it is. Oh, God, here I am, God. Well, I have access to you, God. Now, thank you for having access to the throne. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Anybody need mercy today? Amen. Not only that we may obtain mercy, but we'll find grace to help in the time of need. Don't give up. Help is on the way. Help is just a prayer away. Thank you, Lord. And I thank God that the God we serve, that we have access to, he deals with hard things. See, you know, everything is hard if you ask me. But he deals with hard things in our life. And sometimes we'll get complacent in the hard things. Sometimes we'll think that this is just my lot. And this is just the way it's going to be. And I'm just going to gird myself and just go with it. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Keep on coming. See, because remember the woman who kept coming to Jesus to be avenged of her adversary? In the King James vernacular, it said because of her importunity, her persistence, she kept on coming. And if that old unjust fella did it for her, how much more will our loving Heavenly Father do for us? Yes. Last scripture. 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love. This just wipes me out. See, because I know where I came from. You know, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. If you're a child of God, just clap your hands. If you're a child of God, just give God glory. If you're a child of God, amen, give him praise on today. Hallelujah. What manner of love is this that the Father, oh my God, has bestowed upon us that we can be called children of God? And listen to this. Therefore, the world does not know us. So don't think it's strange in these days and times that we're living in that folks is looking at you cross-eyed because you love Jesus, because you're holding fast to your confession, because you're seeing some things that's not right, and you're saying that's not right. Why? Because Jesus said so. It's wrong according to the word of God. This is why we have to hold fast to our confession. This is why we need to rejoice in the hope of Jesus Christ. He says, behold, what manner of love is this? The Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now, right now, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Sister Patricia, I call that we ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Traveling shoes, Lord. Traveling shoes, Lord. Got on my traveling shoes. Oh, boy. That's an old one. Patricia knows it. I wouldn't mind if she got up with that tambourine and started singing it. Sometimes, sister, we need a breakout. Amen. like the sister said, don't start now. Praise God. Amen. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. You mean my sinful nature will be gone? You mean all of my pain will be gone? Did not Jesus say it, that he's going to wipe all tears from our eyes? Anybody been crying lately? See? And listen, it may not have been tears on the outside, but if anybody been crying on the inside, but we're going to be like him. All of my troubles is going to be over. But right now, let me finish reading. But right now, we have access to the Father. He's the cure for depression. He's the cure for poverty. He's the cure for hatred. He's the cure for unforgiveness. He's the cure for everything. The cure for sure. I like that. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Woo, we ought to give God praise today. Thank you, Lord. So we could this whole Bible is talking about our Father. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And I'm so glad, Pastor Jones, that we can see in Scripture what he's already done. We can see what he's doing right now. We can see what he said he's going to do. We can look in the mirror and see what he's done for us. And all we have to do is just come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen, saints, I'm sitting down. Don't stop going to the throne of grace. Don't stop looking for grace and for mercy. I don't care how hard this stuff gets on us. Keep on coming. Keep on crying. Keep on calling on your Father in heaven. And I guarantee you, he'll bless you. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to give you the hands of Pastor Jones. Praise the Lord. And lead us communion.
Isn't that a blessing? We have access. That means that we can come any time of day or night, in any situation, in any location, no matter what your station in life is. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care whether you have a lot of money or just a little. He doesn't care if you live in a big house or if you're living under a tent. He's not interested in that. He's interested in letting you know how much he loves you and that he wants to give you access so that you can come, as pastors say, boldly, without fear of coming to the great one. He is great. He's the great God. But he's also great in love. He's great in mercy. His grace is great. He's a great God. And he has great love for you. Anytime somebody tells you how much they love you, ask them how much. Show me your love. God showed us his love. We're getting ready to take communion. Why? Because God showed us his love. The Bible says what? God commended his love. He demonstrated his love in that while we were yet in our sins, he didn't wait for you to stop smoking and stop drinking and fornicating and stop gambling. In your sin, he showed you his love completely, voluntarily. Why? Because that's his nature. He could not love you any more than a dog can stop barking or a chicken can stop a rooster can stop cock-a-doodle-dooing. That's his nature. God's nature is love, and he loves you so much. He says more than the sand on the seashore. He said, that's my thoughts toward you. That's a lot of thinking towards you. That's a lot of thinking toward me. I think about that one over there sitting in the gold a lot. Because that's my wife. I think about her all the time. When I'm looking at TV, I'm wondering, where is she? Because she's upstairs and I'm downstairs. So how come she's not down here? I'm thinking about her. God's thoughts are like that. Only way more than that is thoughts towards you. More than the sand on the seashore. And he gave his life to prove that to us. God always wanted family. When he made Adam, is because love needs an object of its affection. Adam was his object of affection, and all of mankind, we are the object of his affection, because he's love. And we're going to take communion. and we're going to commune with God in this. And this is a fellowship. Paul says to know him in the what? Power of his resurrection. And what else? The fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto what? His death. That death made all the difference. All that suffering he went through because there was no other way to do it. He talked to the Father and he said, is there any other way? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And we are witnesses of this very thing. If we know the Lord, it is because we have taken that fellowship in hand and we're thankful. So let's get ready to partake of the body and blood of the Lord, considering why death was so important to God. You know what it said in Isaiah chapter 53? It said it pleased the Father to bruise him. Why would it please the Father to see his son suffer like that? It pleased him because Jesus, but Paul tells us about Jesus, it says, for the joy that was set before him. It said he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he's sat down, which means it's done. You don't sit down until it's all done. He sat down because it's finished. Jesus on that cross, what did he say? Tetelestai. It's finished. There's no more work to be done. So we don't have to work for his love for us. His love for us is a done deal. And he showed it to us. Amen? Praise God. As we get ready to partake, let us just pray real quickly. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, for you have shown us that not only do you love us so much, but God, that we have access to you. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain our grace to help in our time of need. And Father, we are needy people today. There's so much going on around us. There's so many things going on that overwhelm us if we let it. But Father, we're here to say, I don't want to let it anymore. We're here to say thank you for what you did. We thank you for what that cross means to us. We thank you, Lord, as we partake of this bread, this grape juice, to recognize what you did. God, bring it to our remembrance, because we forget things. We forget where our keys are sometimes. But Father, this afternoon, we want to remember what you did for us on that day on that cross. But Father, that day on that cross was a dim and dark day. But on the third day, oh, we thank you. You came back from the dead with all power in your hands, defeating death and the grave. So, Father, we thank you. Now you're seated in heavenly places, and your word tells us we are seated in you, in Christ, in heavenly places. And so, Father, we're so thankful. Bless this opportunity, this fellowship, even now, in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.